Jesus Christ. Amen. Please let's sit down very quickly. Let's look into the word this morning. And we started yesterday from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Can we have that scripture? In the time that I have, I'll just try to wrap up what we started yesterday. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because you received the word of God, you took hold of the word, you aggressively made the word of God yours." It says, "When you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And we spoke about the working of the word of God in our lives to produce results. Our faith is not just a profession faith, it's a manifestation faith. When faith is thought, things should be seen. It says, "He that worketh miracles amongst you and ministereth the Spirit to you, doeth ye it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith." Now, we looked at this text from the Amplified Version, and we saw how that Paul was speaking about the superhuman capacity, power of the superhuman power of the Word of God. I made up my mind long ago as a young boy. It's either this thing works or it works. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I made up my mind long ago that I must be able to give proof to whatever I'm saying. Anything I'm saying, I must be able to give proof to it. If I say Jesus heals, then people should see Jesus healing. If I say that Jesus makes rich, then people should see it. I made up my mind long ago. I think a lot of believers are very okay with just romancing the word, being excited about the word. Because you have to make that switch, and there are certain things that comes with that switch where you're going beyond just being excited at the word to saying, this word must produce results in our lives. This word must produce results in my life. And we looked at a few of the things that can be done. We made a distinction between the two words translated receive in the New Testament. The first word being dekomai, and that refers to a welcome reception. Just, you're happy to see the person, favorably disposed to the person, a favorable welcome of the person. And we said all that it takes for salvation to happen is dekomai. That's all it takes. Believe and confess it. That's all you need. That's all you need to be born again. Nothing more. It's as simple as that. However, to enjoy the benefits of salvation, you will have to do more than just a favorable welcome of the word. We said there's another word that's used, and that's the word lambano. Lambano, which means to aggressively take. Say with me, aggressively take. Now, the idea is not that you don't have it already. You already have it. But you're giving manifestation to what you already have. And as I prayed much, I thought I was going to go in a different direction this morning, but I mean, I'm not sure. I usually believe when the Lord changes things last minute, it's because he wants to speak to one person. You know, when the preacher has prepared his sermon, this is what I want to say, and last minute the Holy Spirit tells you, you're going to put that aside, and this is what I want you to talk about. So I believe God has a word for someone today. Not just good revelation, but a word of wisdom for someone. You know, in the teaching, you can have your word of wisdom, which means the counsel of God for your life in the now. And I believe very strongly that counsel will come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, three things we are told in scriptures expressly to lambano. Three things we are told to expressly take. Three things we are told in scriptures to expressly take. Now, there are more than three things that the Bible shows us we can take lambano and take a hold of, for example. It talks about the prophet's reward. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet, 10:41 of Matthew, shall receive a prophet's reward. 19:29 of Matthew, it talks about the rewards of followership. If you leave everything and follow me, it says, in this life you shall receive father, mother, houses, lands. The word received there is lambano, you shall take. Because not everybody who followed him has received. Are you following what I'm saying? So that's why you can have faithful people who are still broke. Faithful people who are still poor. Because there's a receiving that is required. Are you following what I'm saying? It says you shall receive a hundredfold. The word there means you shall take actively. And I gave us three things we can do to take actively yesterday. You remember? We said first it starts with a revelation of ownership. Were you here yesterday? And then number two, a bold confession, unfettered confession of faith. What you have believed, what is yours? Then number three, obedience to an instruction. That is specific corresponding action that the Spirit of the Lord will bring to you. Now let's look at three things that I believe are critical for a victorious life that the Bible expressly tells us to take a hold of. We must give attention to take hold of it. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Let's look at one of them there, Romans 5, 17. Two of them, pardon me, Romans 5, 17. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we see the other one there. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense, I think we really like message translation in our church here, because my translation is always message. I think it was Joyce Meyer who said, Amplified Bible is for women, because women like to talk. So King James is for men, Message is for Gen Z. All right, so Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. By what? One man's offense. Come on, talk to me. By what? One man's offense. Adam sinned and the whole world was thrown into turmoil. One man's offense. Irrespective of what you think of it, what you do, everyone is born into the world a sinner. We don't become sinners by what we do. Are you getting what I'm saying? No. Nobody became a sinner because he sinned. You became a sinner because you were born a sinner. The Bible tells us, David saying, he said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. In sin was I born. That's what Job was speaking about. He says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Who can do it? It's practically impossible by human standards. Nobody taught you to lie. You just grew up and you found yourself lying. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Because everyone that is born into this world is born a sinner by reason of Adam's offense. Now, have you ever read in Hebrews chapter 7, it says that Levi paid tithes whilst yet in the loins of Abraham. If it could be accorded to Levi having paid tithes in the loins of Abraham, then it can be accorded to every man to have sinned because we're in the loins of Adam. Are you following what I'm saying? It says, if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, everybody say with me, much more. Come on, come on, come on. With a loud voice, say with me, much more.
Much more.
It says much more. And I think the reason Paul is using the word much more there is that many people have more faith in what Satan did in Adam than what God did in Christ. Many people have more faith in what Satan did in Adam than what God did in Christ. You have the first Adam, you have the second and the last Adam. In the first Adam, all sinned. In the second and the last Adam, all were made what? Righteous. Are you following what I'm saying? In the first Adam, the Bible tells us, he says, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Next verse, verse 18 there. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon how many people? All men to condemnation. Everybody read the next sentence, want to go. Even so, by the righteousness of one. Hold on, just a second. By what? The righteousness of one. Come and say with me, the righteousness of one. It says the free gift came upon how many persons?
All.
In the same way, nobody escaped Adam's transgression. Nobody escapes Jesus' righteousness. Are you following what I'm saying? So in the sight of God, everyone in the whole world today as we know it is saved. Now, does that mean that everyone has legal, vitally experienced salvation? No. In the sight of God, everyone, as far as God is concerned, is saved. Because he sees the world through the lens of Jesus and the provision of Jesus. But not everybody is saved. We know that. Why? Because not everybody has taken advantage of what Jesus did on the cross. So he tells us by one man's offense, and please stay with me, everybody became sinners. He says by one man's obedience, one man's righteousness, everybody has become righteous. But I want you to observe something in verse 17. Let's go back to verse 17 there. Verse 17. Because I want us to see the things that we must be conscious of and that we must take advantage of. I hope you know that your phones can do far more than making phone calls. But because you are unaware of it, even though you have it, you are not taking advantage of it. Many of you have phones that can do, you would be shocked at the number of things your phones can do. You'd be amazed at the capacities embedded within that phone. But then you bought the phone, it's yours, you have it with you day by day, and you're not enjoying the benefits. Not because you don't have it, but because you don't know. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why he says that the Holy Spirit that is given to us, he says, we have not received the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. You know why he says that we might know? Because they are freely given to us does not mean we will enjoy it. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to help us know. Because knowledge is possession. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? He says, so the Holy Ghost has come into our hearts that we might know. This is the ministry of the Spirit, that we might know. That we might know. That we have it is not enough. That we might know. And the Holy Spirit carries out that ministry in your private place through study, through ministering to you, speaking up in your heart. But a major part of that ministry of the Holy Spirit is through the teaching ministry. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's how he brings us to know. Never despise the gift of a teacher. Oh, this is important. I know the Lord has blessed you with a teacher. Never despise it. Whatever anyone will prophesy into your life, teaching will bring into your life. And not only bring it into your life, will grant you the substance to keep it. This is important. So, a major way the Holy Ghost carries out his teaching ministry is through the ministry of teachers that he sets over you. Can I digress a bit? Kenneth Hagin said sometimes the side stories are more important than the main story itself. If you read in Romans chapter 10, it talks about how that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've read that before. And then it says, how shall they hear except there be a preacher? Am I right? Now, hold on with me. Faith cometh how? By hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And then it says, how shall they hear except there be a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now, we read that in generic, I mean, you know, we teach it, faith cometh by hearing and all this, but keep it within the context. Faith cometh by hearing the words of those sent to you. It says, how shall they hear except they be sent? It's not just hearing everybody speaking. Hearing those sent to you. It's a generation of sound bites and audio clips. And that's why even though it seems like there's a lot of knowledge, there's little strength. Because it's not how many audio messages, it's not how many clips you have downloaded from Instagram and YouTube. It's how well you have listened to the one sent to you. For God will put the inheritance in the mouth of the one he has sent to you. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying? This is so important. I have a very good feeling that this morning's teaching is going to be more of home housekeeping than an excited jumping up and all dressed. So God has given you a gift. God has given you gifts. It says that he gave gifts unto men. In essence, a ministry office is a gift to you. You have to see it that way. The very same way, and even much more, even better, if I gave you a phone, the way you're excited about it is the way you should be excited about your pastor. Because that office is a gift. It's God's gift to you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
So he tells us that the Holy Spirit, his primary assignment, one of his primary assignments, is to help us know the things that are freely given. They are already freely given, but until we know, we can't take advantage of it. We can't take advantage of them. And so all through scriptures, the Bible shows us what are those things God has freely given to us so that we can come to the acknowledgement of those things. Are you following what I'm saying here? And then begin to walk in the light of the truth of God's word. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, I believe. Powerful scripture. It says that your faith may become effectual. Let's stay there for a bit. The word effectual there means produce results. Not just a mouth faith. A faith that generates results. It says that your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. Remember what I told you yesterday? Faith is not trying to get something that you don't have. Faith starts with you acknowledging what you have. Philemon 1:6. Let's look at it together. Want to go? The communication of your faith, the use of your faith may become what? Effectual, effective, productive, producing results. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing. Hold on. Not every good thing you're looking for. So how does faith become effectual? I have to know the good things that are in me. Remember I told you, what is faith? I remember I got into the city of Abuja just a few years ago, and these were the words on my lip. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. This city responds to me like it will respond to Jesus. Why? I am one with Christ.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
There was a sense of, I'm here now.
Yeah.
I'm here now. Is somebody following this here?
Yes, sir.
So he says, they which take the gift of righteousness. Don't let Satan rob you of it. Your righteousness is unaffected by anything on the external. This is important. Now, I should put a balance to it. Because what happens is people take this and then they run away. And they say, blah, 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 and all this. If you take righteousness, then righteous living will be a consequence.
Yes, sir.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes,
if you have the nature of a dog, very soon you will bark. But you may not bark immediately and the bark may not be strong enough immediately. But very soon you will bark. You have to nurture your nature. Is somebody following what I'm saying? In essence, we have this nature, but we have to nurture it. Are you following this? But you need to know that what Christ did is unaffected by what you do. No. It's unaffected by it. Say this, I am
the righteousness
of God in Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus.
They asked Archbishop Benzdowser, what gift of the Spirit do you have? He said, none. He said, I have revelation. Say, you mean you don't have any gift of the Spirit? He said, whichever one you think I have is you that knows. He says, what I have is revelation. What I have is light. A young man, he's a preacher now, quite known around the country. He was a teenager, not even a teenager, younger than a teenager at the time in Church of God Mission. And then one night we sat down and he was telling me stories of the Archbishop. He said, just tell me what kind of a man he was. He said, well, I can tell you some that I saw with my eyes. A lot we heard, but some that I saw. He said, if anybody died in Benin and did not resurrect from the dead, the assumption, the consensus was that Archbishop did not know he died or Archbishop did not like him. Glory to God. Say this, I take my righteousness.
I take my righteousness.
My friend said this to me, Reverend. He said, I saw it with my eyes, not that he told me. He told me three stories. I'll tell you two of them. So you see the power of righteousness. Many are crying, more love, more power. Stop it. T.L. Osborne said many people are crying for more power. Oh, Jesus, more power. Oh, Jesus, more power. And he said what they need is more gospel. For the gospel of Jesus is the power. So the more light you have in truth, the more power you can manifest. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Please, let's stay with the scriptures, not sensationalism. Let's stay with the scriptures, not sensationalism. Archbishop, my friend, said to me, 5 a.m. prayer meeting with the women in the church. Used to have, I think, 5 or 5:30 a.m. prayer meeting with women in the church whenever he was in town. Had come in for this prayer meeting. There was a grandmother who brought the child. The child was about 2 years or 3 years of age. The mother of the child was out of the country, but the child was with the grandmother, and the child had died. About 24 hours, Reverend. So this is confirmed death. She refused to take the child to the hospital. She said, by 5:30, I will see Archbishop. So she wrapped her baby and took the baby to church. As Archbishop, like we're walking through this place, she stood by the door there screaming, Archbishop, help me, my baby is dead. Archbishop looked at her and acted as though he didn't see her, went into the prayer meeting and led the prayer meeting. She wept and wept and stood there waiting for the Archbishop. Archbishop went outside again. She cried, held his leg. He removed his leg. And then he was almost entering his car. Everybody was wondering, what is Archbishop going to do? All of a sudden, he turned back and they said he bellowed. Can you give me that cup? Archbishop screamed out. He said, give me a cup of water. So they ran and then they gave him water. I said, give me a cup of water. You're looking like that. It's okay. It has passed. Said, give me a cup of water. They poured water into it. My friend told me. I was in there. He said, this was not what he was told. It's what he saw as a little child. He said, Archbishop drank a bit of it and poured the remaining on the dead child. Said, the child jerked back to life. Reverend, no prayer. R.W. Schambach speaking about, what's his name now? Jaco, is it? A. Allen, pardon me. He worked with A. Allen. He said one of those days, he was like one of the boys around A. Allen. So one of those days, they were trying to cast out a devil from a girl. 6 or 7 of A. Allen's associates, come out, I will not come out. Come out, I will not come out. He said they were there for over 6 years. You know what this man knows. This man knows. Because if you know it, you can produce his results. So he ran to A. Allen in the office. He said, sir, what did you say? A. Allen, he said, casually said to him, he said, oh, I just told her A. Allen is here. You mean you didn't say, come out? You didn't. No, he said, I just said A. Allen is here. He said, Atobli Shambach said, what do you mean? A. Allen then looked at him. He said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I was studying this years ago, Reverend, and this light shot into my soul. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, not at the mention. We are the ones who had mention.
Yes, sir.
No. He never said at the mention of the name. He says, at the name. I carry the name.
Yes, sir.
When I show up, they bow.
Yes, sir.
It's a consciousness. It's not a prayer.
Yes, sir.
Is somebody getting what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
The name can be sung. The name can be prayed. The name can be declared. The name can be mentioned. Or the name can show up. Have you heard, I'm going in the name of another. I have come in the name of Jesus. So I fully expect when I enter a place, I enter with my atmosphere. I heard the preacher say many years ago, he said, you know, the challenge many times is you have to go into a place and stir up the atmosphere. Because I said, no, I don't stir no atmosphere. No, I am a city set upon a hill. Every city has a climate. When I entered as a city. Come on now. That is you taking your righteousness. None of this is because of you. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm not weak, I'm strong. I said, I'm not weak, I'm strong. Say this, I have dominion.
I have dominion.
Absolute authority
and mastery.
That's the That's what it means to take your righteousness. I don't pray for the sick hoping they will be healed. I don't pray for the sick to and then check if they were healed. To check means you don't believe. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he didn't check. It was Peter that checked. Master. One day Jesus said, no man eat fruit of ye hereafter. Then Jesus was walking by the next day. Now, what would you expect naturally to be done? And let's even check. Oh, this thing we spoke to yesterday, has it happened? You know, if you read that scripture, you will see the exclamation of Peter. It was a case of Jesus was looking at the fig tree, passing by the fig tree. He didn't look at it. He was just walking by like this was not where we call something. Ah, Peter just held him. Eh? Master, wait. You like to show yourself. Master, calm down. You remember the fig tree? Oh, yeah. That you cursed? Oh, yeah. He's right from the root. Wow. Okay. And then Jesus turned and said, you know you can do the same thing. It's not a big deal. Jesus democratized power. He said to them, whosoever. Peter was trying to say, hey, Jesus. Jesus said, hey, Peter. Glory to God. Say this, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How do we take our righteousness? By an awareness and an affirmation of it. A conscious awareness. You are aware of who he has made you and you declare it with boldness. Number two, abundance of grace. Say with me, abundance of grace. And I'm sharing this with you so that you can take these things. And I want you to just read a few things to you. Observe, he didn't say the abundance of grace. Please, everybody, listen to me very carefully, because this is one of the biggest undoings of this generation. The lack of understanding of what grace is and how it works. There is saving grace, which is what many people have turned into a doctrine, and that's all they are preaching. But saving grace is not all there is to grace. In John chapter 1, he talks about, of his fullness have we received grace heaped upon grace. The word fullness there is the word pleroma. Now, you can have fullness in terms of volume, which means I pour into the cup and you say it's full. Or you can have fullness in terms of number. You say, we can't add any extra chair. It is full. Pleroma is fullness in terms of counting and number. So when he says grace heaped upon grace, he's saying that every grace that Jesus walked in, one by one, he counted it into your life. Of his fullness, of his pleroma, as he heaped upon us, grace upon grace. Is somebody following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, the implication therein is this, is that grace can be increased and grace can be decreased. He giveth more grace. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Now, we have to understand that men are promoted, and the result you see in the lives of people is a function of grace. Oh, this is important.
Yes, sir.
And I would to God that this generation will understand it. Write this down. Grace is God's currency for promotion. Grace is God's currency for promotion. He promotes people by giving more grace. If God wants to increase the number of people in our church, for example, he does not give me people. He gives me more grace. More grace brings more people. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If God wants to take me away from a place of, oh, we have to rent everything to a place of ownership, what he does is that there's a grace of ownership. Is somebody getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
If God wants to take me away from a place of not being able to do much, what he does is that he gives me the grace of help. Because there's a grace of help where men are just attracted to you. One man who functioned in that grace was David. Day by day, men were added unto him until he was like the host of heaven, the host of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? The problem I found out with a lot of young people is that we despise the place of grace. We despise the place of this imparted grace. I'm not talking about saving grace. He says, take the abundance of grace, which means there's grace to be taken. Now, you need to understand this about the kingdom of God, that there are several things that God is only going to communicate to you through human vessels. There are things that will not be communicated by your prayer and fasting alone. Oh, this is important. Even Jesus had to enter ministry through the words and the affirmation of John the Baptist. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? How many of you remember the prayer of Hannah? She cried unto the Lord in that place, "I give me a child, I'll give you a prophet." A backsliding prophet came to her, and what did he say? "You're drunk." I said, "Not so, my Lord. It's the anguish of my soul. If you knew what I was going through." Now, please, you need to go and study this for yourself later on. The Bible says, Eli then looked at her and said to her, said, "Go your way, for your prayers are answered." Immediately. Say with me, immediately.
Immediately.
The Bible says that her countenance changed. She began to rejoice. She went home to eat, a woman who had not eaten for so long. Why? Because Eli had spoken. Backsliding prophet. Howbeit, God's servant. There are experiences in God we will not have if we don't receive those he has sent to us. The experiences in God we will not have. I can tell you, I was somewhere, I had gone to on a retreat, and then one of the days I was done with the retreat, a friend of mine, so we began to talk, and we spoke late into the night. My heart was burning about several issues, kingdom issues and all the rest. And I remember I got back to my room, my hotel room. My wife was already asleep. This was about 1 a.m. About 2 a.m., my friend and I had spoken late into the night. About 2 a.m., and I knelt by the bed. I said, "Dear Lord Jesus." And I remember what my prayer was. My heart was burning. You know what the Lord said to me? He said, "You will take so-so and so seed, and you will go down to visit my servant." And then he was talking about Bishop David Edepo. He said, "The next phase of your assignment is in his mouth. The key to the next phase." I said, "God, I'm praying to you here. You are sending me somewhere." I said, "Lord." He said, "Rise up now, go meet him." Now, to cut long story short, this will interest you. My wife and I had gone to see somebody in a hotel in Abuja there, a minister who came around, and we just wanted to, actually, we even went to sow a seed, because I said to her, I said, "No, he can't come around, and let's take a seed, no matter how small, let's go sow it." And we're sitting in the lobby waiting. They said, "Hold on, he's seeing somebody, and then you can come in." And then here comes in the son-in-law of the bishop, husband to my friend, love. The next phase, grace. Open up now. Amen. I don't understand. God said the key to the next phase is in the mouth of his servant. Somebody I had no conversation about what God told. Says the next phase, the next phase. You know, I can be praying 7 days prayer marathon for the next phase. Why did God send angel to get Peter and then sent angel to Cornelius? Why didn't angel just speak? Because men are God's methods.
Yes, sir.
Somebody listen to what I'm saying here?
One
of the ways is not the only way, but one cardinal way to receive abundance of grace is to recognize the men that he sends to you. This is important. Please and please never get to the place in your life where you despise in any sense the ones God has sent to you, irrespective of the results you are seeing. Somebody listen to what I'm saying? God uses men to communicate grace. I have seen this over and over and over and over. I have seen it over and over and over again. I can share another testimony with you. I picked up, I went into a meeting with Maurice Cerullo. He was still alive at the time. With David Ibeome in Port Harcourt. I saw the flyer. This was years ago. And I just knew in my heart, you have to be in this meeting. My friends, 3 of us went. We all sequestered in one room together because that's all we could do. And I remember the first night, second night, powerful meeting. By the second night, I was so hungry. I said, "God, I didn't come to write no to. I came for an encounter." I prayed the whole night.
the whole night till 6 a.m., like a Friday into a Saturday like this, the whole night into 6 a.m., my friend stopped me. I was, just to let you know, it was like a table like this. It's a small hotel room. I entered under the table and I prayed the entire night. It was a hotel, so I couldn't shout. God, God. I found out that my friends had woken up and joined me in the prayer. Reverend, the moment I sat down in the auditorium, it wasn't the auditorium, it was overflow, outside. Maurice had not even started preaching. The word of the Lord came to me. He said, pick your note now. These are the five keys to the healing ministry. Now, maybe if I sat at home, he wouldn't have said it. These are the five keys to the healing ministry. I said, wow, I wrote it down. Now, you think that's the beauty of it. 4 years after, I woke up January of that year, restless in my spirit. The Lord said, take a seat. And he told me, the minister, to go sow the seed to. I took the seed, went to see the minister. Reverend, look at this here. In fact, it was Bishop Wale, okay, just to put context to it. As I sat across his desk, he said, God told you to bring a seed. I said, yes, I told the son, I don't need 1 minute with Bishop. I just want to sow a seed and go. I'm not looking for anything. Just want to sow a seed and go. I'm not trying to take picture. I'm not in that business. No, it's impartation that matters, not picture. I remember that I sat down there. He said, sit down, son. So I sat down. God asked you to come all the way to sow a seed? He said it 3 times. I said, yes, sir. God told me. He said, now, let me give you the 5 keys to a supernatural ministry. The very 5 keys God spoke to me in Port Harcourt 4 years ago. Same keys. The reason many people are not walking in some dimension of grace is that we think we are an end to ourselves. No. God uses men to communicate grace. Somebody following what I'm saying here? There are men with grace of help. You just see that men always are around them. There are men with grace of ownership. If God connects you to a house like this, be sensitive not only to receive the word that is being spoken, but the grace that is being communicated. Somebody follow what I'm saying here? Say with me, the abundance of grace. Come, say with me, abundance of grace. Say with me, abundance of grace. So we must be humble enough. It takes humility to receive grace. We must be. Ministers of the gospel, we must be. We must be. We must never get to the point where we think that we have this little result and then we can despise the vessels that God has used to communicate grace to us. Never should that happen. At no point. Glory to God. Say this with me, I take grace. Now, James 4 tells us, he giveth more grace, wherefore seeth God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So humility is the key to taking grace. Humility. I want to beg this generation, let's subscribe again to humility. There's too much pride in the pulpit and in the pew. Too much pride. Too much. Let's subscribe again to humility. God said to me, he said, learn to carry grace with humility. There should be greatness, but humility cloaking the greatness. How do we know humility? What are the signs of humility? Let me just give you this very quickly as I wrap up this morning. There's a third point, but I think I'll just leave it at this too. I believe that this has blessed you enough already. Number one, what is humility? A deep sense of your need for God that drives you to constantly fellowship with him. A deep sense of your need for God. To leave your room without prayer is to say you don't need him. Prayerlessness is a proof of pride. I can do it by myself. I'm okay by myself. As such, your devotional life, your prayer life is the first proof of humility. Jesus said, I can do nothing by myself. If Jesus said so, then you need to know that you can do nothing by yourself. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? My friend, Pastor Nathaniel Bassi, we're talking one time, and then he said to me, he said, young ministers, music ministers will come and meet him and say to him, hey, Pastor Nat, I'm always afraid and jittery when they call me up to come and minister. I'm always afraid. And he says, I always pray one prayer for them. May you always be afraid and jittery. And you always wonder, what do you mean by that? He said, the day you think you can do it by yourself. Now, I understand the confidence of faith with which you approach life. But towards God, it's humility. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? The deep sense of your need for God. Number two, acknowledging that every gift, every skill, and perceived advantage you have is simply an election of grace. Every skill, every gift, every perceived advantage you have over another person is simply an election of grace. My 200 level medical school, Reverend, I had gone into, those were the days, campus days, you were on hot. I could teach 12 hours, and I'm not lying. I used to have word vigils. We start at 9 p.m., we end at 6 a.m. sometimes. And I'm standing and I'm teaching. If you sleep, bakam, wake up. And I will teach. How can I be standing? A campus now. Burning, rev. So God told me to join this fellowship. I joined the fellowship, first day in the fellowship. The pastor was, in fact, if I mention his name, some of you may know him. He's a voice in the body now. The pastor was preaching at the time in the fellowship. God bearing me witness. I began to sleep where I was. He bored me with the message. I had never slept in a service before. I can never sleep in a service. Never. Never. My reverence for God is too much. Never. So that day, I slept, sir. So I knew there was a problem. So I began to complain to God. I said, what is this? I said, God, the day I hold the mic, hey, they will agree in this fellowship. And I heard the word of the Lord, you will never hold the mic. Yes.
That's right.
You will never hold that mic. Because I was going in my strength. I thought that me, just give me opportunity. I became humble. You know what I did? I began to serve that pastor. I go and clean his shoe, go to his room, anything he needed to do. I humbled myself. Eventually, I became president of the fellowship. But God needed me to go through that process of humility, because every perceived skill and advantage you have is simply an election of grace. You know why many people are gifted, but they can't show you the result of their gifting is pride. And when you find people who are not so gifted, they seem to have results. Because when you are not gifted, you simply say, God, help me. It's easy for you to trust God. But when you are the type that can sing, you won't come for Yaza. Thank you, sir. Once you show up, what key are we singing on? Now lift your hands. You shake your head like a gamma. There's confidence in your skill. But the other guy who knows that, hey, you're like Don Muen. One thing we have. you don't have any voice anywhere.
Yes, sir.
It's easy for you to trust God.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? The reason many people are not standing in the fullness of what God has for them is pride. A sense of confidence in their giftings, their skills, and their abilities. No church grows because of the skill of the pastor.
Yes,
no ministry grows because of the gifting of the pastor. No, it's the surrenderedness of the pastor. God taught me this long ago. No matter how powerful the message is, God taught me. Have you not seen how you teach? One day I said to God, I said, it's not fair. You teach a powerful message, only 100 people hear it. Somebody else says something that is so light, 1 million people. You are wondering, this life is not fair. It is not. Because the guy who knows that he's not saying much says, oh God, this little use it. Or you are going like, I'm going to preach myself happy today. Sephron de gila, even the tongues is wifune. Sheneme, atuateneghe. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Every perceived skill advantage over another person is an election of grace. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? If you want more grace, you must supply more humility. If you want more grace, you must supply more humility. I hope we're still friends, even with all that I'm sharing.
Yes, sir.
Because I noticed yesterday we hooped a lot more than today. But I told you it's housekeeping, right? Let's sweep our house and put it in order for the mighty surplus that God is bringing our way. Number three, let's end with this. The third reflection of humility is a recognition of the authority structures that God has placed over you. And submitting wholeheartedly, not politically, wholeheartedly. Show me wholeheartedly. You know when Hagar was maltreated, pardon me, and she left in anger, what did the angel say to her when he met her in the wilderness? Go back to your master. She had every right to have left. Go back to your master. When Jesus said, I've never seen so great faith in all of Israel, it was the centurion who said, don't come into my house, speak the word only. Then he added a phrase. He says, for I am a man under authority. The reason I can say to one, go, and he goes, and I get the kind of result, is that I myself, I am under authority. Too many people don't want to be under authority. They want to come to church, just attend, and disappear. No. It's like me saying, you know, because God has done this little in my life, and then I begin to despise the authority structures God has placed over my life. Never will the day come that I would despise God, those that God has placed over my life. And it's not a casual submission. Active. Do you understand what I'm saying? Active. I was on my way to Lafayette. Bishop David Abiy called me. I'd missed his call about 3 calls. I mean, I'll miss it and then he'll call me. I was there. My wife knew. I mean, she always knows when it's these people. She knows. She just knows by the attitude. One day she said to me, she said, I heard you screaming amen in the middle of the night. He said, I knew that there's only one person that would have called you. I was on my knees. He does not need to know I'm on my knees. No, it's my heart's posture. It's my heart's posture. My heart's posture. He wanted to ask me certain questions. I said, I don't think it will be proper, sir, that I answer on this one. I will come and see you, sir. Just give me a time. Do I have that time? I don't. But God forbid that I am submitted at my convenience. God forbid. Anyone you see flying understands this principle of connection to grace. I will end with this story. McCankin said he was a young man and he used to ride horses in Texas in those days. And then he said this day he rode this horse to go and deliver newspapers. He rode this horse to a bridge and the horse will hit the bridge and will turn back. Will hit the bridge and will turn back. And no matter what he did, he couldn't get the horse to cross. Beat the horse, did everything. He said many years after, he was a teenager at the time. Many years after, he went for a horse show in Texas, Dallas, Texas, cowboys and all the rest. And then he saw this horseman who knew about horses. So he walked up to him and he said, there's an experience I had as a little child that I want to ask you. Can you give me an answer to? So he related what had happened to him with his horse when he was young. And he said, the cowboy looked at him. Listen carefully to this. The cowboy looked at him and said to him, he said, we don't know why some horses will not cross certain bridges, but we know how to get them to cross it. He said, what we do is that we look for another horse that has crossed a lot of bridges and we tie this other horse to it. He says, as long as this horse is in front, this horse will follow and cross it. He says, once it crosses it once, it does not have to be tied again. It can cross it always by itself. It says, as the cowboy said that to him, the word of the Lord came to him. He said, there are giftings, there are graces and revelations that are put in men around you. He said, if you don't find them and get it from them, I will not say it. There are things you will not hear in your prayer closet. Yes, sir. No. Yes, sir. No. There are things you will only hear from the voice, from the mouth of those he has sent. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He says, how shall they hear except they be preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? So there are men sent with your word. May you not be too proud to receive the ones he has sent to you. I said I wanted to end with that story. Let me end with another story. A young man, a pastor in America, was trained under Brother Hagin. Finished, I think, 1988 set, Rema set. He wrote a book and I saw something that changed me forever. He said he noticed that it was the 88, 86, 87, 88 set that really were the ones who were doing massive things for God in ministry. And he was wondering why. How could you have generations of ministers pass through Hagin and they don't seem to be able to reproduce what Hagin carried? Only those in their set. He said, then the Holy Ghost cast his mind back to when he was a student. Oh boy, powerful story. He said, Hagin will teach class like this. And sometimes we think it was a lot of people. No, 50 people, 100 people. He will teach a class like this. Brother Hagin will finish teaching the class. And usually the way you know he's done is that an alarm will go off. Bah! And so they had to leave class. He said, when Brother Hagin leaves the class, in fact, before he's done, many of them are already packing their notes to go. You know, we are the ones honoring Hagin like this. No. They saw Hagin. They knew Hagin. He was wearing suit and tie. They were familiar with it. So some of them already, they are looking at the time, packing their books, a whole Hagin. My God. Packing their books already to go while Hagin was still teaching. He said, but some of them would sit down. He said about 12 of them had made up their minds they were going to soak everything. So once Hagin was done, they would start praying in the spirit. That, oh God, the grace upon this man. Oh God, that which he carries, that has made him so impactful. Not just the words. He's a prophet to us. They said without fail, listen carefully. The pastor said without fail. Many a times after those other students have gone, entered their cars, and all of them are walking away, Hagin will get to his car. He said that's usually the farthest he goes. He will turn back and come into the class and only 12 will be left. He will prophesy on them for 3 hours, sometimes 2 hours, laying hands upon them one by one. Thus saith the Lord unto you. He said this happened for months non-stop. They received the teacher. They received beautiful words. But they missed on the grace. They missed out on the grace. God uses men to communicate grace. Don't look for what is far. He's already with you. God has given you those men. If you are in this house, God has given you your pastors. Don't just receive them as, you know, wonderful pastors. No, no. Destiny is in their mouth. Inheritance is in their mouth. Are you listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
My prayer for somebody is this. Is that your life will be an evident proof of what grace can do. In the name of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord correct every heart of pride. Bring you to a place of humility. To receive all that he has for you. Now, I speak in the fullness of my office. More grace. I speak in the fullness of my office, more grace.
Amen.
Over everyone under the sound of my voice, more grace.
Amen.
In your business, more grace.
Amen.
In your homes, more grace.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. To be a part of any of our programs or services, visit our website www.petroscc.org for our different locations and service times. We'll be happy to have you join our online community. Follow us on our social media handle on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Petra Christian Center. You can also reach us via email at correspondent@petrascc.org or call us on 070-173-87222. Petra Christian Center, building Jesus communities globally.